The time that we are in at the moment is a time in which when we look around us, everybody is having a good time. Everybody is on holiday, everybody is celebrating, and there is the festive feeling in the air. But for us as Muslims, when we look at this festive feeling and we look at the celebrations happening around us, it's very easy to be sucked in. It's very easy to be pulled in. And this is why today's lecture is on this topic, is the devil's deception. Enemy, our greatest enemy, is the devil, a shaitan. And this shaitan, from the very beginning of time, he made his outcome, he made his goal and his objective very clear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah sends him to the earth that he is going to work very hard to make sure that all of Allah's slaves turn against him in kufr, in disbelief. He says, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِن بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِن خَلْفِهِمْ. I will come to them from in front of them and from behind them. وَعَن يَمِينِهِمْ وَعَن شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَعَن أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَن شمائلهم. I will come to them from their right and from their left. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. What does this mean when the shaitan says, I will come to them in front, behind, right and left? It means that the shaitan is persistent. He is patient. You and me, if we try to do something today, let's say some of the men in this masjid, one day they try to cook some food at home as a gift to their wife. And when they produce something that is not eatable, after this they say, never again am I going to touch the stove. We give up very easily. Sometimes maybe you're stuck on the road and your tire is punctured and you say, I'm going to try to be a mechanic myself today. Today I'm going to fix my tire. And after this 6 hours, you realize I'm not made for this and you call the RAC and you say, never again. We give up very easily. The shaitan is not like that. The devil is very, very patient. He is willing to work not on the scale of minutes and hours. He is willing to work for years and decades and centuries until he achieves his goal. What is his goal? You go to a shop. The shopkeeper might give you a cup of tea, might ask you about your family. But ultimately, the shopkeeper's goal is to make a sale. You have to buy something. The shaitan's goal, he may have many small steps on the way, but ultimately his goal is for you to do kufr, for you to disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he doesn't mind starting with you as long as your grandkids will become disbelievers in 60 years, in 80 years. But he will start with you slowly, slowly, slowly but surely. Where is the best place that we can learn the strategy of the shaitan? What ways does he use? If we go back to the very first story, the story of Adam alayhi salam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives Adam alayhi salam paradise with all its beauties and all its halal, but he only makes one thing haram for him, one thing prohibited for him. And that one thing that is prohibited, Adam alayhi salam is not thinking about it. But shaitan comes to him and whispers. And not once, but again and again and again. Allah uses a word for this in the Quran, a very interesting word. He does not use anywhere else in the Quran. Only here to describe what did the shaitan do to our father Adam. It starts with dal. Who can tell me? فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورِ. Allah says the shaitan دَلَّاهُمَا. What is دَلُو in Arabic? Who can tell me? دَلُو is a bucket, the one you put inside a well to get water. دَلَّا يُدَلِّي in Arabic. When you pull the rope to get the bucket out. Slowly, slowly, slowly until your water comes up. You have to be very patient. Sometimes in the Arabian world, hundreds of years ago, you wanted water, you had to walk many miles. And when you reach the well is so deep. Imagine the bucket has 5 kilograms of water and you have to pull it for 10 minutes, 15 minutes until it comes up. The shaitan, this is how he works. Dalla. Slowly, he gives you a bait. When you go fishing, someone goes fishing. Small piece of bait you put at the end of your fishing reel. A worm, a small fish, you throw it in the water. You just need to wait for one fish to grab onto it. And then you pull and you pull. And you can wait all day. You might just wait to get one fish, but you will be patient. This is the trick of the shaitan. The shaitan never, the devil never ever calls you directly to disbelieve in Allah. He asks you first to leave something that is just sunnah. So he reduces the importance of following the sunnah in your eyes. You think, khalas, sunnah after dhuhr, sunnah before fajr, it's optional, out the window. And slowly, 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 you start to pray the salah at the end of its time. It's okay. It's still within the time. You know, Maghrib 3:57, Asr 3:53, it's okay. It's still within the time. You start to delay. You start to do this regularly with all your salawat. One day comes, that last 3-4 minutes of the time of a salah you were intending to pray, it just goes. And you miss your first salah. And that day you're shocked. But as you do it once more, and once more and once more. It becomes normal. Until the day comes you stop praying salah. But the shaitan's work is not done yet. This is his deception. This is the way he works. Someone comes to you, says, you know, if you don't pray salah, some scholars say you might be a disbeliever. You say, Allah never ordered us to pray salah anyway. Muslims don't have to pray salah. And now you have left the fold of Islam by consensus. There are two main things that the shaitan uses in our lives to make this happen. Two main techniques we are going to talk about. We know about these two techniques because Allah mentions them in the Quran, because they happened to someone before us, Banu Israel. The first one is our relationship with the Book of Allah. Who can tell me an ayah where Allah describes the relationship of Banu Israel to the Book of Allah? لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونُ فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ. Allah says, Allah made an agreement with the people of previous scripture, with Jews and Christians. This is how the religion always starts. Ahd. Allah makes an agreement with you. This is what you have to do. This is the guidance from me. This is what you have to do. He says to them, to the people of the book, the scholars, the most important thing with this Injil, with this Torah, make it clear to people what does it mean and don't hide anything from it. What did they do? How did they react? نَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ وَاشْتَرَوْا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا فَبِئْسَ مَا يَشْتَرُونَ. They threw the book behind their backs. Now tell me, did they physically take the book and throw it behind their back? What did they do then? What did Banu Israel do with the Torah and with the Injil, with the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Gospels, the guidance from Allah? How did they react to it? Sufyan ibn Uyayna says in Tafsir al-Tabari, they recited it and they covered it in silk covering, nice dibaj, and they put it on the top bookshelf and they stopped acting upon it. This is what it means, فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ. Does it sound familiar? Do you know any Muslims whose relationship to the Quran, they recite it, they have a nice cover, they put it on the top of the bookshelf and they forget about it? This is exactly what they were doing. Allah calls this throwing the Quran behind your back, throwing it behind you. Where your relationship, our relationship with the Quran becomes empty. The Quran becomes to us nothing but melody and recitation. لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِي. Allah describes Banu Israel, he says, for them, their book is just hopes, stories. It has nothing for them to act on. So people come to you today, they say, Islam is about good manners. Just be good to people. Keep it simple. There's no beliefs, no aqa'id, nothing like that. Don't go against the grain. Take it easy. Quran, mashallah, my son read, he's read the whole Quran to his teacher, his maulana, his sheikh, his muallim. Mashallah. Can your son explain to me, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Allahu Samad. Just tell me the meaning of As-Samad. Everybody here, I challenge you to ask your children this question. What is the meaning of Allahu Samad? That's it. If they can't answer the question, you know and I know, we are walking the same footsteps of Banu Israel. This is the first way in which the shaitan deceives us, by weakening our relationship with the Book of Allah. There is a second way in which the shaitan deceives. Who can tell me? The shaitan, those before us, Banu Israel, the Jews and Christians, he eventually converted them from muwahidun, those who worshipped Allah alone, to mushrikun, to pagans worshipping idols. Who can tell me a story in which this happened in the Quran? People of Musa, when they started worshipping the golden calf. This story in the Quran will give you the other side of the shaitan's methods to make us slowly but surely fall into disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran regarding the idea of the Trinity. This is the claim of the Christians, right? God has a son. Allah says, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرُ بْنُ اللَّهِ وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرُ بْنُ اللَّهِ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارِ The Jews say that Uzair is the son of Allah, and the Christians say that Jesus is the son of God. They are saying this with their mouths, meaning it's not true. They are just copying the words of those who disbelieved before them. This sentence here in the Quran, يُضَاهِئُونَ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ, is amazing. Because Allah here points out one of the main ways in which the Jews and Christians, those before us, slowly but surely went from muwahidun, from worshippers, to pagans, worshipping idols. You see, everything that's wrong with Christianity today did not come from Christianity. Did not come from Isa alayhi salam. Where did it come from? It came from the Egyptians. It came from the Romans. It came from the Greeks. It came from the Babylonians. It came from other cultures. It didn't come from the message of Isa alayhi salam or his students. It came from elsewhere. Most cultures in history of humanity. Somalia before Islam came, India before Islam came, Pakistan before Islam came to this. Every part of the world before Islam came, what was the religion? Many of them, most of them, 90% of the world was worshipping what? You're saying idols. If it isn't idols, it is this, what they call shirk, polytheism, many gods. So what did the Greeks believe? They believed in one main god, Zeus, the female wife god, and that he had children gods after this, and that the gods are fighting with each other. Others, they believed in nature. Others, they made their king their god. But the, all of them, there's one thing in common. They have many gods. The vast majority of the world had this belief system. Everywhere Islam went, whether it's through Isa, through Musa, through Muhammad, through Nuh, it had to fight against these belief systems. So much so, in the New Testament of the Bible, in the Gospel of Paul, Paul mentions that he prays to God and he heals someone. And the people who are hearing the message say, Paul is God himself. You see, they see a miracle and they say, you are God. Because why? This is what they are used to. When people are used to something, they find it hard to change and think in a different way. There's a saying in English, old habits die hard. And this is the second technique of shaitan. He makes you, if you're part of a society that is worshipping nothing or worshipping other gods, he makes you start to feel, I'm a bit different to them. I feel a bit left out. Maybe I should change something small. Maybe I should integrate a little bit. Maybe I should do this, just participate in this. And next thing you know, you're drowning. Or if Islam comes to people who have converted to Islam, he says to them, look, before Islam you guys were worshipping this and that. It was so, the story was so interesting about God. The gods are fighting and having war and having children. So interesting. And this Islam is boring. Just one God. It's so simple. So you start to invent things, add things, because you miss the old days. You think this didn't affect the Prophet ﷺ's companions? Of course it did. You think this did not affect those before us? Today, if I take a plane to my village in South India today, in a Muslim village, I would be greeted at the door with a Hindu ritual in most houses. If I land in the airport, the idols will be staring me in the face. Muslims, they take on Hindu practices and they bring them into the religion. This is everywhere you go in the world. And we are in a, well, when many will say we are not in a Christian society anymore, we are in a society that doesn't believe in God. We will come to this at the end of the talk. The shaitan uses the environment and society and your baggage in the past to make you feel, let me change a few things so I can fit in. I miss the old days. And there's two ways to fight the shaitan. And the first way, reverse of his first technique, to stay close to the book of Allah. Astamsik billadhi uhiya ilayk. And when we are going to do that for our children and ourselves, it does not mean just recitation, at-tilawa. No, we have to get them to understand what is inside the book of Allah. Any child who reaches the age of 15 should know the meaning of Juz Amma. This is, should be a goal for every parent. Write it on the wall, put it in a poster. When my child reaches 14, 15, they should know the meanings of Juz Amma. They should know the stories of the Prophet. They should love the Sahaba. They should know the stories. They should know the story of Umar ibn Khattab more than they can tell me about Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo and who's the latest person on the roster of Manchester City. They should know those personalities. Otherwise, they lose their identity. Otherwise, they lose their belief in Allah. Otherwise, they lose their closeness to the Kitab of Allah, the Quran. They need to know the meanings. This is the first way. The second way, how do we deal with society and the pressures of society? We need to strengthen our identity. We need to get used to being brave enough to be different. We can dress the same as those around us. As long as we cover our awra and we are not, there's no mukhalafa shar'iyya, we're not wearing anything haram. We can dress in a trousers and a shirt, and that is perfectly permissible. But we have to know how to draw the line. And we have to show our kids how to draw the line. And we have to make them confident in what they believe in. And the only way to do that is for them to know why they believe what they believe. Wa sallallahu wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.